in studio with us, and he's been here for the entire show, but he's been listening mostly for the first half. But this gentleman is a very well-known economist in town. He's been a professor of economics at the University of San Diego since 1988. And Richard's alma mater, of course.
Hey, Torero.
And he's been on, done dozens and dozens. Actually, his bio says thousands of interviews. I'm gonna check that out with him.
Now it's 1,001.
But Professor Alan Jin, professor of economics, welcome to our show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's a real pleasure. Well, you heard the first half with David Lefkowitz, and what questions or issues or comments are at the top of your mind?
I think he hit the nail on the head for the most part. In terms of the overall U.S. economy, I think it's going to have some impact, but minimal. He mentioned that we don't have a lot of trade with the EU, and trade itself is just a small part of the overall U.S. GDP. Hmm. What I'm interested in is whether or not this is actually going to go through, because there's some talk now that Britain may actually not end up exiting because
the Article 50 may not get triggered. You're saying,
for one thing, is the referendum is non-binding, and so even though a slim majority was in favor of exiting, it still will require some legislation by the British Parliament.
So it's more like a survey rather than a binding proposition, right?
Well, David Cameron is arguing, the Prime Minister is arguing that they should follow the will of the people, but uh-huh. but there seems to be some
buyer's remorse, right?
Exactly. Scotland was strongly in favor of staying in the EU, mm-hmm. and now the proponents are even backing off on some of their promises that they mm-hmm. made. And you mentioned the immigration mm-hmm. Thing earlier with your previous guest, but one example I could cite is that they claimed that they were going to save hundreds of millions of dollars, and that would be directed to the British National Health Service. But the day after the referendum, the proponents immediately backed off on that. And so right now there's a big petition being circulated to try to have a second referendum to try to reverse this.
I saw one item too about the main proponent of that, who was I guess he posed in front of a big billboard that was on the side of a bus that he was traveling around with. He was pointing this line of immigrants behind him. Well, they weren't even in the UK. It was a falsified ad, and even he withdrew that. So they've inflamed a lot of emotion over there, I think, and people really, I don't know if they've thought through all the implications. But let me ask you this: the sterling was always in existence. But the euro, they never embraced the euro. I mean, you could go to UK and spend a euro when they, right? I mean, I wasn't quite clear on our prior guest when he mentioned that, or am I?
Yeah, Britain never adopted the euro. So
the pound.
Yeah, if you went to the UK, you had to convert from Europe. You had to convert your euros into pounds.
The same thing with the Czech Republic now, or the same thing they have. I think it's the krone or something. They don't accept euros over there. But you just go to a conversion store and exchange them. There's an exchange rate. So I guess it's more of an ego thing. I don't know what's that for. I mean, if you're either in or you're out.
The British wanted to maintain the independence of the pound. They felt strongly about that, and there's issues about maintaining your own independent currency. You have more control over your own monetary policy, for example.
Yeah. Well, will this let's say the Article 50 is triggered? Mm-hmm. Will this impact immigration and the situation in the UK, or don't we even know that?
I think it all depends. Cameron's going to step down eventually, mm-hmm. and so I think a lot will depend on the new government, mm. who succeeds them, by invoking this Article 50, that only then starts a 2-year negotiation process. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. a lot of uncertainty about what would happen, including on the immigration front.
So they may be walking back from the precipice a little, even if Article 50 is, it depends upon the negotiation of all these trade agreements, right? Or renegotiation, right?
I think it's the case.
Hmm.
Richard. So do you think the Leave vote was sort of based in part on the fact that there's just general dissatisfaction in Great Britain with things like economic policy, immigration policy, and people just sort of do a knee-jerk reaction, much like the Trump phenomenon here, which is sort of, I guess, dying out?
I think that is the case, particularly on the immigration front. A lot of passions in that particular area. You know, a lot of incidents occurring then in the UK, and you know, then there's also the sense that you know, decisions were being made in Brussels by the EU that were impacting the UK economy and the lifestyle of people in the United Kingdom, and people kind of resented that.
Mm. You know, we didn't get in with David too much, but maybe Alan has an opinion. Sovereign debt and sovereign wealth funds and all that, obviously, and I didn't want to get into derivatives with David because he probably wouldn't want to address the question, but nobody seems to know the state of the derivatives and this quadrillion dollar notional value and whether we've walked back from that at all. Do you have any opinion on that?
Yeah, I don't think I can address that, although, you know, the rating agencies did downgrade the UK debt by, I think, a couple of levels as a result of this action.
Mm, there you go. Richard, do you have any opinion on the derivatives? Or
you know, I never talk about derivatives because, like everybody else, I don't understand them either.
Look at this. We've got a CPA and a PhD, and nobody knows.
I mean, nobody knows.
And they designed it that way, I think.
That was on purpose.
What do you think these hedge... Now, when did these hedge funds actually come into existence, Alan? Do you have any... Is it a relatively recent...
It's a fairly recent phenomenon, like in the last 3 decades.
Yeah, and highly unregulated, right?
Yeah, for the most part unregulated. Yeah. Dodd-Frank's efforts notwithstanding.
Anyway, we've got a minute to the break, so what else you want to ask, Richard?
So if I'm an ordinary citizen of the UK... Do you think this really affects me much at all?
It'll affect you in the sense that the value of the pound has gone down considerably. And so that makes it more expensive for you to do anything, for you to travel, for you to purchase imported products.
Because to me, that was the irony. If there was general dissatisfaction with economic policy, to do something that drives down the value of the pound, you've just shot yourself in your other foot.
Right. Mm. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there's worry about whether or not it's going to affect investment or not in the UK. And there's already talk among some businesses in the UK that they're going to move their operations to the continent.
Well, we'll come right back with Professor Allingen, University of San Diego, right after this. Hang on. Mother's Brothers, that's the guy who wrote that song, Mason Williams. We had fire up there, Eric. All right, we're back in the home stretch. We're on the prowl here. What's that? Peter Gunn music, right, Richard?
Peter Gunn.
Good detective music. We're back with Professor Alan Jin.
We're going to get to the bottom of it, Joe.
That's right. The race to the bottom. Professor Alan Jin, University of San Diego, economist, professor. He's taught several core. I looked at your resume. My God, you've taught everything over there, every economic subject under the sun, I think. But your real forte is economic indicators. So what did you want to tell us about your latest research?
Well, so far, the economy of the U.S. is doing okay. We got some mixed signals on the national front. GDP growth not great, but we're adding, except for the last jobs report, we've been adding jobs at a pretty good pace. Mm-hmm. We're doing pretty well here in California and on the West Coast. Mm-hmm. California leads the nation in job growth.
Is that right?
You know, people, you know, some people think that the economy is stagnant or something like that.
Flat.
And there are issues of doing business in California, but we've added more jobs in the last year than Texas and Florida combined.
Which sectors are we talking about mostly? High tech, biotech, all of that?
Broad based things you mentioned. High tech, biotech, construction has rebounded. Mm-hmm. Motion pictures, trade, agriculture, and then a lot of support things, restaurants and healthcare as well, retailing to support those jobs.
Yeah, I'm looking at a 2012 number for the California GDP, and I see almost $2 trillion. It's probably a little bit north of there now, don't you think?
I think that that's probably the case.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, based on this, you know, we said that the the Brexit would have minimal impact on the U.S. And I think if you isolate it even here to us on the West Coast, there's even going to be less impact than that because we're farther away. Mm. We're more impacted by what happens in Latin America and in Asia. So the slowdown in China is a bigger issue to us than Britain leaving the EU.
Mm. Sure, although interestingly, I spoke with a very wealthy individual in the Middle East who's a very significant real estate investor who had deployed rather significant assets into the UK. Mm. And he said most likely they're going to be moving probably to the west coast of the US as opposed to the UK just because of so much uncertainty now being wrought by the referendum.
And plus, we don't get up to 165 degrees here either, so...
We could benefit then from people shifting their assets from around the world if the UK then is just too volatile, too uncertain. We could benefit then from that situation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, one place where we'll be hurt is that the decline in the value of the currency though makes it more difficult for Europeans and people from the UK to invest here in San Diego and California and along the West Coast.
But a nice time for Americans to travel, right? So maybe?
That's correct. So if you're taking a vacation.
Yeah. I got a text from a buddy who's at the Wimbledon Tennis Championship saying, wow, there's some really good deals over here.
I'm sure. What do you get a sweetheart? What do you fly over there for? $100 or something?
Yeah, exactly.
And now, although the impact is going to be not very large, we will probably have some impact in the sense that it's now more expensive for tourists from Europe and the UK then to come to the West Coast of the US and to visit places like Disneyland or the San Diego Zoo.
Hey, speaking of Disneyland, they just opened one up in Shanghai.
Yeah.
And my friend, I used to work with him over Channel 10, he and his wife, they do great video for, I guess, another network I shouldn't say. But that one, that looks phenomenal, the Disneyland over in Shanghai. Have you seen anything?
Just pictures on the internet. Yeah.
Boy, that's something. But I want to ask about the Panama Canal real quickly. They think that may impact West Coast commerce a little bit. Have you seen anything about that?
I think that definitely would be because now bigger ships can transit through there. So I think you're going to see more trade as a result of that going from one coast to the other through the Panama Canal.
But they think we may not get as much shipping coming into here because I guess they could go directly to the East Coast I saw something about that. I didn't really drill down on it too much, but anyway, Richard, you had another question?
Yeah, how about our upcoming election in this country? It's been one of the more interesting years in terms of Donald Trump on the one side, Hillary on the other, probably the two most polarizing candidates in the history of a presidential election.
In the history of history.
In the history of history. what do you think? Is this going to affect the U.S. economy very much, depending on who gets in, or is everybody just sort of looking at this and laughing at this point?
I'm of the view that the president, by him or herself, cannot have a lot of big impact on the economy because they have to get legislation then through Congress. Probably the chair of the Fed probably can do more individually than the president. What the president can impact through legislation, I think, though, is the winners and losers, basically who benefits, who loses then as a result then of economic policy.
Mm. There you go. Well, although Donald Trump did make some negative remark about the economy the other day, and I think it did affect the market temporarily. Now, the president could make a negative comment, right?
That's the one place where the president could have some sort of impact if they spook the markets somehow by making some sort of statement.
President Trump might short the market, make a statement, short the market ahead of time and make a statement and clean up a little bit. Who knows?
And that's actually another impact as far
it's
as
a good movie
this,
plot,
as,
isn't it?
As far as this the Brexit is concerned, is that to the extent that financial markets are affected, consumer confidence could be impacted then as well. So I don't think there's going to be direct impact on the U.S. West Coast, but there could be some indirect impacts.
Well, speaking of consumer confidence, how are we doing right trending, as of 5 years ago today, and how's it projecting out? Do you have any opinion on that?
While the economy seems to be doing well, the consumer confidence measures actually have been declining in the short term here.
Huh.
And I think that, again, reflects sort of this anxiety that a lot of people have as far as the economy and the lack of, in particular, wage and income growth.
Well, trade agreements is another thing. Now, Trump is going to be really ginning up the, pardon the pun.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was good,
Joe. The trade agreement, the negative impact on the U.S. economy. What's your opinion on NAFTA, CAFTA, and all these things? And should we walk back from those a little bit?
I think it'd be too late to do that. I think the trade has had some negative impacts in terms of the manufacturing base of the U.S. and a lot of urban areas have been negatively impacted by that. But I think at this point, if you try to go back now and reinstitute tariffs, that would be really disruptive as far as the U.S. economy.
And that's
is
what Trump's
concerned.
Talking about, right?
That's what he's in a sense. God. So your students at my alma mater, 19 years old, 21 years old. What are they? I mean, this is an overly general question, and I'm asking you to, I guess, overly generalize in your response. What are they thinking about? What are they concerned about?
Thinking about driving for Lyft or Uber on their spare time.
I guess. But seriously, what are they thinking about? What concerns them right now?
Well, one thing is that they do feel better about things than maybe 5 years ago when the job market was just terrible. So there are a lot more jobs available. The unemployment rate nationally below 5% now, so a lot better as far as that's concerned. But they're worried then about student debt. It's just much more expensive now to attend school. You know, we're a private school, but even the public schools are more expensive, a lot more expensive now. And students then have this debt, and that's going to affect them then far into the future. That could be what's causing consumption to be down, to be not as high as it has been previously.
Well, I'm a little, you know what, everyone puts down Bernie Sanders making education free, but, you know, on any given day, the stock market, about $1.5 trillion can be, up to that amount can be traded, and a little Tobin tax to subsidize or fund education. You know, years ago, we talked, you know, USD was like $700 a quarter, but right in the 60s, right, Richard?
Yeah, something like that.
And I know what the tuition is. Well, USD is, you know, it's a very expensive private school, but, you know, anything to help all students get some education if they're qualified and want to pursue, why not? And even adults, for God's sake.
Even adults.
Yeah. Anyway, we're about to wrap up in our last minute here. Anything compelling or, Alan, that you'd like to say real quick?
I guess I'm going to say that we're actually in pretty good shape here in San Diego. I think we're going to have a good year.
So hang on, folks. It'll be a bumpy ride all the way to November. And thanks for being our guest, Alan Jin from USD.
Thank you.
And David Lefkowitz.
Well, we voted to leave because I hear music.
And to David Lefkowitz in New York at UBS. Richard, great seeing you. Eric Rubalcava on our soundboard making it sound terrific. Thanks to Craig Blanke, our con-executive, and Dave Sniff, our program genius.
And Mike
here.
Caranta from UBS. Thanks again, sir, for hooking this up.
And we'll see you next week. All these podcasts are commercial-free on iymoney.com. See you next time. Bye-bye.